Chamrishtva sahasotaya maitila prita manasa maitila prita manasa ahayam asavidhivat ahayam asavidhivat ahaniyam samarhanai. Translation by Srila Prabhupada's followers. The king of Mithila immediately rose from his seat when he saw Lord Balaram approaching. With great love, the king honored the supremely worshipable Lord by offering him elaborate worship as stipulated by scriptural injunctions. The almighty Lord Balaram stayed in Mithila for several years, honored by his affectionate devotee Janak Maharaj. During that time, Dhritarashtra's son Duryodhana learned from Balaram the art of fighting with a club. Keshavo dwarakametya nidhanam satadanvana apraptim cha mani praha priyaya priyakrit vibhu. Lord Kesava arrived in Dwarka and described the demise of Satadanva and his own failure to find the Samantaka jewel. He spoke in a way that would please his beloved Satyabhama. Purport. Naturally, Queen Satyabhama was pleased to hear that her father's murderer had been brought to justice, but her father's Samantaka jewel still had to be recovered. And thus she was also pleased to hear of Lord Krishna's determination to recover it. So when Krishna is Balarama here, they're acting out their roles as princes. But the devotees who know, just like the Janak Maharaj, he knew who Balaram was, so he gave him all elaborate worship. So it was an opportunity for the devotees that knew to worship the Lord directly, personally. What a great mercy to be able to serve the Lord, worship the Lord, associate with the Lord. Here, Balaram didn't go back to Dwarka, he stayed in Mithila and had his pastimes there. While Krishna went back to Dwarka. It's also made a Duryodhana, although he is such a diabolical person, at the same time he got so much mercy from Balaram. He learned from him how to fight with a club, he was associating with him. So Duryodhana, a very special person actually, to get that kind of mercy. Later, when there was a problem in Balaram's close relationship with Duryodhana, he brought him to Hastinapur to mediate a problem. Tathasa karayamasa kriya bandhor hatasya vai sakam suhidvi bhagavan yaya siu samparayiki. Lord Krishna then had the various funeral rites performed for his deceased relative Satrajit. The Lord attended the funeral along with his well-wishers of the family. Akrura Krita Varmacha Sutva Satadhanor Vadam Vyushato Bhayavitrastau Dwarakaya Prayojakau. When Akrura and Krita Varma, who had originally incited Satadhanva to commit his crime, heard that he had been killed, they fled Dwaraka in terror and took up residence elsewhere. Akrure Proshite Rishnani Asanvai Dwarakau Kasam Sarira Manasastapa Mohur Daivi Kabotikaha. In Akrura's absence, ill omens arose in Dwaraka, and the citizens began to suffer continually from physical and mental distresses, as well as from disturbances caused by higher powers and by creatures of the earth. So adi atmic, adi daivic, and adi bhautic suffering were going on. Purport. The word daivika here refers to disturbances caused by supernatural beings. These disturbances often manifest as natural calamities, like earthquakes, tidal waves, and extreme weather. Nowadays, materialistic people attribute these disturbances to earthly causes, not realizing that they constitute punishment at the hands of superior beings. The word bhautika refers to trouble caused by fellow creatures of the earth, such as human beings, animals, and insects. According to Sridhar Aswami, Akrura took the Shyamantaka jewel and went to reside in the city of Benares, where he became known as Dhanapati, the master of charity. There he executed fire sacrifices on gold altars with elaborate assemblies of qualified priests. Some residents of Dwaraka felt that the unusual calamities were due to Akrura's absence. Forgetting, as described in the next verse, that the Supreme Lord's personal presence in Dwaraka precluded that possibility. Because when the Lord comes to earth, his pastimes resemble those of human beings. The principle of familiarity breeds contempt comes into play. It appears that during the lives of many saintly persons and incarnations of God, there always exists a class of people who fail to appreciate, or who only occasionally appreciate, the position of the great souls among them. On the other hand, the fortunate and enlightened souls who recognize the true position of the Lord and his associates are supremely blessed. The Shyamantaka jewel produces gold every day. So Akrura was doing jagyas, sacrifices, and giving immense charities. He became very famous as Dhanapati. Dana means charity. Pati means like master of charity. So, why the people are suffering? Krishna's present, wherever Krishna's present, then everything becomes very peaceful and nice. But some people were accusing Krishna of different things. So even Krishna comes to the earth, so many envious people are there. It's probably good for us to remember, because sometimes If a devotee faces some kind of personal relationship difficulties, then they can use that as an excuse that people are like this in Krishna consciousness, so I should leave. But we can see from here that it's not a question of Krishna consciousness, it's a situation of the material world. In the material world, this quality of being envious is very prominent. I heard from one disciple who was working in a big enterprise that in order to make one look better, sometimes the other managers would purposely screw up the things going on in the other department, so that then that would bring that person down, so that wouldn't be considered for the promotion, and his department he would be considered for the promotion. So all kinds of weird things going on. It's a pretty difficult world out there. So even in Dwarka there was a little bit of that, a little bit of undercurrent. So in order to set the stage for some pastimes, Krishna created some difficulties. He wanted the Akura to come back. Then people would think that, well, the difficulties were because Akura had left. Also, Krishna does certain pastimes to just make people think that he's not really the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's also subject to certain natural laws here. But we're reminded that actually he's in control, and this is just an external manifestation that he's exhibiting for some other purpose. There's some very interesting at the end of this chapter, very interesting little plots going on in this particular chapter. The last verse of the chapter says that this narration, rich with descriptions of the prowess of Lord Sri Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, removes sinful reactions and bestows all auspiciousness. Anyone who recites, hears, or remembers it will drive away his own infamy and sins and attain peace. So it's very auspicious. I hope everybody gives their attention to these different verses, because you can see it's giving special blessings. Ityangopadi santyeke visamritya pragudharitam munivasanivase kim Gathirarishtadarshanam. Some men proposed that the troubles were due to Akura's absence, but they had forgotten the glories of the Supreme Lord, which they themselves had so often described. Indeed, how can calamities occur in a place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the residence of all the sages, resides? Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti provides the following insight on this verse. In Benares, Sakura became famous for performing sacrifices on golden altars and for his abundant charity to the Brahmanas. When the citizens of Dwarka heard about this, some of them gossiped that Krishna, considering Akura a rival, had sent him into exile. To dispel this new and incredible stain on his reputation, Lord Krishna created various calamities in Dwarka, thus inducing the citizens to call for Akura's return, which the Lord then ordered. Very complex, huh? Where things are relatively simple in Braja. Seems in the big city of Dwarka, it's a lot of intrigues. A lot of politics. So Krishna, so he's arranging all the things so that, okay, they'll bring Akura back. Deva varshati kachi sha swafalkaya gathaya vai swasutam gandinim pradat Tato Varshats Makashishu. The elder said, previously when Lord Indra had withheld rain from Kashi, Benares, the king of that city gave his daughter, Gandini, to Swafalka, who was then visiting him. It soon rained in the kingdom of Kasi. Purport. Swafalka was Akura's father, and the citizens felt that the son must have the same power as the father. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that because of Akura's relationship with his maternal grandfather, the king of Kasi in a time of difficulty, Akura went to that city. So Swafalka, Akura's father, helped out the kingdom of Kasi. So when he was looking for a place to take shelter, because he was afraid of what might happen since he was involved in the intrigue over the father-in-law of Krishna being killed, and he took shelter in Kasi because of the long-standing relationship with his family. Tat-sutas-tat-prabhava-sav-akru-ro-yatra-yatra-ha-devo-vivarshate-tatra No pata panamarikaha. Wherever his equally powerful son Akura stays, Lord Indra will provide sufficient rain. Indeed, that place will be free of miseries and untimely deaths. Iti vridavacha srutva naita vadiha karanam iti madva samanaya Praha Kruram Janardana. Hearing these words from the elders, Lord Janardana, though aware that the absence of Akura was not the only cause of the evil omens, had him summoned back to Dwarka and spoke to him. Purport, since Lord Krishna is the supreme controller, it was obviously by his will that certain troubles appeared in the city of Dwarka. Superficially, these evils may have been caused by Akura's absence, and also by the absence of the auspicious Yamantaka jewel. But we should recall that Dwarka is the eternal abode of Lord Krishna. It is a city of divine bliss because the Lord resides there. still to execute his pastimes as a prince of this world, Lord Krishna did the needful and summoned Akura. Just like a prince will listen to his ministers or his advisors, so Krishna, Janardana, he listened to the elders of Dwarka, and they said that having Akura present, be auspicious. So then Krishna, showing submission to the will of the elders, he summoned Akura. Like this, Krishna is playing as a perfect young prince, listening to the elders, doing the needful. In the pastimes of Ram was also playing the part of a prince, and he showed his submission to his father, Dasarath. When Dasarath asked him to go to the forest for 14 years, he accepted that as order of his guru. His father was like his guru, so he accepted it and he went off. So in Krishna's pastimes, in Dwarka, you also have this aspect of royal exchanges. The difference is Lord Ram had only Sita, but Krishna is having 16,108 queens. So whatever Krishna does, if he's a child, or if he's a cowherd boy, or if he's a prince, or whichever pastime he's realizing, whether he's a husband, or minister, or ruler, then he acts as a perfect example of that. And people in the pastime, they're not even aware that behind the scenes Krishna is controlling, allowing the different things to unfold according to his plan. When it said earlier that when they heard that Satrajit had passed away, that he and Balaram expressed anguish, oh, what a horrible thing. Was killed in his sleep. They went chasing the murderer. So he was, as Bhishmadev says in the first canto, that he's like an actor on the stage. And he's playing the different roles. So maybe bewildering to the ordinary people. He just plays them so well. But Bhishma, his realization was, you don't think that Krishna is just your cousin, your brother, your friend. He's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the primordial Lord. Because of Krishna's very wonderful role play in the different roles that he takes up, even great sages get bewildered. What is actually the position of Krishna? Just like Indra, he got bewildered. Who is this Krishna telling Nanda Maharaj not to do my Indra Puja? So he sent the rain clouds. But then of course Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill and protected the Vrajavasis. So he displayed his unlimited power. But somehow by the potency of the Lord, in spite of these people in Dwarka seeing so many things, so many miraculous activities of Krishna, somehow they forget who he really is. If he's just acting so perfectly as if he was there, relative, their prince. But that's also the yoga maya, that the devotees forget that Krishna is God. For the devotees, they love Krishna not because he's God, but because he's so wonderful. They love Krishna because they love Krishna. But the other side, of course, is like in a place like Dwarka, where there are some people, they just misunderstood about Krishna. They forgot totally about his divinity, and they weren't necessarily devotees. On the same level. These pastimes of the Lord are considered confidential. Because if someone who isn't a devotee tries to understand them, he won't be able to understand. Sukadeva Goswami periodically, he tells the king, reminds him about Krishna's absolute position. Or he addresses Krishna as like Janardana. You know the meaning of the name Janardana? Takes care of the? Yeah, well, Prabhupada explained it like that. He protects his devotees and he also punishes the miscreant. He gives mercy to his devotees and he also disciplines the miscreant. So, but this is the name for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in addressing referring to Krishna with his different divine names. So this is also reminding Parikshit Maharaj that don't get fooled. Krishna is always in the transcendental position. Mind you that Parikshit Maharaj didn't have the benefit of all these commentations by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Sridhar Swami and others. But obviously he was able to understand what was going on. So similarly, when Krishna Chaitanya came, then he was playing the perfect part as a son for Sachi Mata and Jagannath Misra. So Jagannath Misra, he thought, this is my son and I have to protect him, I have to train him, I have to bring him up properly. If he does the wrong things, I have to discipline him. So sometimes Jagannath Misra would also scold his child, or he would threaten, "I'm going to beat you, give you a spanking if you don't behave properly." So one night he had a dream where this Brahman appeared in his dream and said, "You see, your son is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how can you discipline him? He knows everything." He's Supreme Lord. So how can you threaten him or chastise him or teach him? He knows everything. So there was a debate going on in the dream. Jagannath Misra says, "Well, no. It doesn't matter who he is. He's my son. I'm his father. I have to take care of him. I have to train him." The Pandit is like, "Listen, you're not getting the point here. If your son is God, he's Bhagavan, what can you actually teach him? He knows everything." "It doesn't matter who he is, he's my son. He was so much the yoga maya." So that this Brahman kept hammering it until finally, after a lot of explanation, then Jagannath Misra realized, suddenly got a flash. "Gee, if my son is God, then he doesn't need me. Doesn't need my help, doesn't need my guidance." It was so shocking that he woke up and, "What a weird dream. My son is my son, I have to take him." So he went back to the... So that's how the yoga maya works. In spite of so many amazing things, the parents are always seeing him in their relationship. It says when we are liberated, when we are in Krishna's pastimes, at that time, what's prominent is our relationship with the Lord. He's our son, he's our friend, he's my husband, he's my lover, he's my master. Whatever relationship one might have, that's what's prominent. not like they're doing sadhana bhakti necessarily. Get up for Mangal Arati or whatever. It's the relationship which is the prominent thing. And through that relationship they express their natural love for Krishna. But while we're in the conditional life, while we're in this material world, before we enter into the Nitya Leela with the Lord, then what's prominent for us to express our love and devotion is our devotional service. We take up some service for Krishna. In the beginning, when one's a new devotee, their service is to read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, to get a strong foundation in Krishna consciousness, philosophy, to learn different kinds of practical services, how to play the kartals, how to play the madranga or harmonium, or how to sing kirtans, how to help with different, maybe a little book distribution, little deity assistance, little whatever the propensity to learn different things to get an idea. These are the kind of services. I remember in 1968 when I joined, that time Prabhupada said, let there be temples, I want to have temples. So everybody, the idea was everyone should be trained how to lead a kirtan, how to give a class, how to cook prasadam. Because if you were parachuted off anywhere in the world, boom, you go there and open up a temple. So the idea was that anybody should be able, should learn the basic things, so you can go and open a temple. I personally opened maybe three temples. I helped to open up the Chicago temple, the Toronto temple. I opened it up personally and became the temple first president of Toronto, Canada. They went to see Prabhupada. He's going to send me to India. And he said, no, you can go and help Bhagavan open up Chicago. I went and helped open up the Chicago temple. Then I went to Calcutta, opened up the Calcutta temple. Was temple president in Calcutta about 11 times. Because every time Tamal Krishna Maharaj would come, he'd get so angry with me, he'd remove me. Then he put me back. One time he removed me and he put one other devotee, I won't mention his name, I won't embarrass him, he's still around, but put him as the temple president. So I went out and did some sankirtan, came back after 3 days, and the Tamal Krishna with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and then when Tamal Krishna Maharaj was coming up the stairs, this devotee was waiting at the top of the Calcutta, like I'm still up on the second floor, so he was waiting, grabbed him by the neck and threw him on the wall. You made me president of this crazy temple. You made me suffer. It was a pretty wild. We had all senior luminaries, like we had Guru Kripa, we had Yasoda Nandan, we had Jamuna, Shyama Sundar, we had people that, you know, super personalities, you know, we didn't listen to anybody. Yeah, Revati Nandan, who became Ravi Nandan Maharaj, and I must have committed so much, Pancha Davida. People later on became GBCs, and some became gurus. That was a very difficult to manage this kind of really powerful personalities and wouldn't really listen to anybody. So didn't have that many people skills maybe also to do it. So anyway, it was difficult. But anyway, Prabhupada sent so many senior devotees to India, they opened up Bombay, they opened up different temples. So he was sending people around the world to open up temples. That was so at that time everybody wanted to like know a little bit of everything so you could go anywhere, you could do the needful. Now in ISKCON it's more like people get specialized. You got pujaris, they know all the Purusha Sukta, Swasti Vachana, everything. They know all the Pancharatik mantras by heart. They can do the mudras and they're like that. In those days, it was just like, okay, basic puja, okay, that was enough, you know. But now we've got like specialist pujaris and somebody who's fully into book distribution, this doing book distribution, or someone doing restaurant management, different. Tend to have more specialists nowadays. But for new devotee, it seems would be very useful to learn a lot of the basic different things, and then you can see if you want to specialize in one particular area or not. Which one suits you the best? But then you have a basic, fundamental understanding of what to do in Krishna consciousness. So. So now we have that momentum. At first we had, when Prabhupada was president of 108 temples by 1977, by 1986, the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya, we had about 215 temples. By 1996, the centennial of Prabhupada, we had over 350 temples. Now we have maybe about 500 centers. Now there's discussions of different, not only temples, we have Namahata, kind of congregational preaching units. We have different kinds of forms of ISKCON, lofts and restaurants. And of course, restaurants are always there, farms were there. Different kinds of preaching formats. So, Aniruddha Prabhu is and Devamrita Maharaj and many other senior devotees were on the preaching committee, preaching strategy committee. So we're discussing what are all the possible options for expanding Krishna consciousness in different places. What's going on today and what could go on and what. So all these kinds of things. But we're just looking in the past, that was the kind of background. This is Lord Chaitanya's pastimes on earth. His Sankirtan movement is also a kind of a pastime. When he was present, everyone, you know, personally present, there was the Sankirtan. And then for spreading Krishna consciousness now in the 21st century, there's the internet, when Prabhupada was present, there was airplanes to travel around the world. That wasn't there previously. Now there's the internet, you don't even have to move from your city, you can be preaching all over the world, you don't know what the future holds. Confirmed. With the basics, of course, of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Serving Krishna just like they did when he was personally present. Now we're serving him in his deity form. We have Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. The Dwarka mood, we have here Vanabalava who are in the Vrindavan mood. And we have Gauranitai who are in the Navadvip mood. So all the three moods are here in this temple. You can, whichever one you're attracted, you can focus on that or you can appreciate all the different aspects of the Lord's pastimes. So these pastimes of Krishna, we in the what's it called? Chaitanya Bhagavat, one of the first verses, I think it's the second verse or so, it says, Adya piha lila gora kore gora rai, kono kono bhagya wan deke bare pai, that the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are still going on today. Those who are fortunate, they can see them. Kono kono bhagyavan. Who some rare fortunate person is able to actually perceive that Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are going on. So just as Krishna, he had his different intrigues and he was doing his pastime. Lord Chaitanya's pastime was how to spread Krishna consciousness. Lord Nityananda, well, he went into his internal lila at the end, but then Nityananda kept on with the preaching mood. We went to Bengal, he was flooding the whole Bengal. Lord Chaitanya went to South India, flooded all over India, went to Vrindavan, then came back to Jagannath Puri, then it was more focused on his internal experiences and communion. Did I tell you about the Christian theologians' realizations? One of my godbrothers, Jagat Chakshu Prabhu, from Latin America, he was in Mexico City. And we had a little meeting with Guru Prasad Maharaj and Bhakti Bhushan Maharaj and others. But he shared with us that he found a book, which kind of out of print book, rare book, from the 1800s, where one famous Christian theologian, I forget his name now, but he had gone like around the world, he was researching different religious traditions. And one of his books, or this particular book he got, was called Visit to Gorakhpur, Searching for Jesus Outside of Christianity, or something like that. So there he was studying the different traditions of India, and he came. In this book, he says that he found Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said that how he didn't find anybody in the West, in the East, within Christianity, without Christianity, anybody that showed a deeper expression of love for Godhead than Lord Chaitanya. That he was, first of all, his love was so ecstatic, with symptoms of crying and hair standing on end, so many different ecstatic symptoms, and that how he was in constant communion with God, that he, and in the final pastimes in Jagannath Puri, he'd be with devotees constantly discussing about God and communion in a very most profound manner. He said, never read of any saint or anybody in the history of religion that had that kind of expression of love for God. So to hear that from like Christian theologian, and I'm kind of paraphrasing it, but The actual words you said were even maybe more dramatic than what I'm able to express. So it was pretty... I asked him that. You're going to email that over to me. I said, that's pretty interesting. Because sometimes our Christian brothers, they don't really... I don't think they really go out. They don't really study what... You know, if they really knew what Lord Chaitanya had to offer, they would see that Lord Jesus said, love God, and he's presented a love of Godhead so profound that if they were just a little objective, they would see they have a lot to gain from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example. So somehow this was a broad-minded theologian who came to that realization. So he maybe in the future we'll have, I see like at one time we're doing a big Harinam and there was a group and they had a big sign, they said, Jews for Jesus. I don't know what that is. Maybe we'll have Christians for Chaitanya. But somehow these the pastimes are there for people to link into. And where it's going to lead, how people are going to get more and more mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whether it's through yoga or vegetarianism or if it's through interfaith or for scientific, so many different areas that Prabhupada gave us, from ecological farms, communities, or just our kind of normal orthodox type of book distribution and congregational preaching and kirtans, and say really exciting situation to see around the world unfolding in different places. And I think here in Melbourne, ISKCON is one of the main players. You have an opportunity to make history here by developing your community and making it pretty vibrant and Krishna conscious. So very honored that I can come here and visit occasionally and get your association. I hope that things continue to develop very nicely, manifesting the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any question or comment? What's your name?
Zindra.
Zindra. Zindra.
D-Z-I-N-T-R-A.
Zindra.
Nanda
Maharaj.
Nanda Maharaj. And why did Duryodhana appear here that he's in Canto 3 of Bhagavad Gita? So what's his link in this particular shloka?
They're all brothers. See, they're all the Kurus, Pandavas, because they're all cousin brothers. They're kind of related through marriage and through different... So Duryodhana is also a distant relative of Balaram. Somehow, when Balaram was in Mithila, Maithili, then Duryodhana, because he had Krishna's like very much with the Pandavas all the time, who are competing with Duryodhana. Sometimes Pandavas were ruling half the world and Duryodhana was ruling half the world. So there were different things going on, different, I don't know exactly which period this was. So somewhere during all these past time, Duryodhana went to see Balaram in Mithila, and then he learned from Balaram how to fight with a club. Seven to nine. I think your watch is fast. So that's why I said when the Kurukshetra battle was going on, then Balaram went on a tour around India. He didn't want to take sides because he was related to both the sides in different ways. So he went on a pilgrimage. That time he visited Mayapur, he visited South India, and he came back. Then Kurukshetra war was over. Yudhishthira was the king, emperor, but he didn't want to get pulled, you know. Or he didn't want to try to pull him, different people, he just to stay out of the whole thing. Krishna was also neutral. He also told Duryodhana, you can either have me or my army. And Duryodhana chose, Arjuna chose Krishna. And Duryodhana thought that Arjuna's a fool. What can Krishna do? He won't even lift up a weapon. But I'm going to have his whole army. Because it was a fratricidal war, and they were relatives of both, so they were kind of in between, so they had took a kind of neutral position officially. Although spiritually, Krishna was supporting the Pandavas because they were devotees and they wanted his support. And Duryodhana, who was really a non-devotee, didn't really appreciate Krishna at all. In it, at least his divine nature. So thank you. Plan is to come here for Snan Yatra in December. But don't be surprised, I may just drop through for a day before then.